Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope
Professional
Podcast Hour. My name is Joe. Oh, it's a new year. It's a new us. The same old Nick interrupting everyone. Joining us.
Logo.
Yes, you do. But joining us tonight is Alan. Alan, how are you doing, man?
I'm here.
Yes,
around.
Yes, you are. You are here. I'll be seeing you next weekend in Detroit.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
It's going to be a good time. Also joining us is Nick. Nick, how are you doing?
Hoping that y'all have fun in Detroit.
Yeah, hopefully we won't get shot or whatever happens, you know. I mean, Detroit's not that bad. Right, Alan? Like,
No.
I don't know. I've never been.
Everybody gets scared about Detroit, and it's hilarious to me. But, you know, what are you going to do?
I live in Savannah, so, you know.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah, you know, exactly the same sort of place, you know. Savannah,
hey,
Detroit.
Every morning there's news of another homicide here, so, you know, why not?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that one. So we're going to just do a real little bit.
After a great start.
Yeah, exactly.
We're boys in a way, guys. Love the theme park right now.
Yeah.
Who's ready for fun? Fun made for children. Let's talk about it. Also, homicides.
Well, welcome to our new real life murder podcast. Oh, by the way, did you guys hear The Onion's going to be doing one of those?
No.
Like making a murderer or serial? They're doing a murder podcast or whatever. It's like,
but wait, I want to hear more about the cereal they're making. Is it going to be like sugary or what?
No, stop. I'm not going to, we're not doing this. You know what I'm talking about exactly, and I'm not going to play in your little game, sir. So let's start off.
I bet you it's going to be an onion flavored cereal.
You know, regardless of how much you charge for onion flavored cereal, no one will want onion flavored cereal.
That's unless the true. Onion made it, then everybody would buy it just because the onion made it.
The onion flavored cereal. Well, anyways.
Sweet onion.
Our first start off for the news. We're in the quiet season. There's no like actual fun new attractions or anything like that. We just have like concerts and stuff. So Mardi Gras lineup announced. Sean Paul, The Beach Boys, Macklemore.
The Beach Boys with John Stamos.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Beach Boys with John Stamos. Philip Phillips, Fits in the Tantrums, probably the most modern thing they have going for this. Foreigner, Fifth Harmony, and Bush. So
Fifth Harmony's fairly recent, isn't it?
Can you back up for a second? Is it actually Beach Boys with John Stamos?
Yes.
Yes.
So it's not a joke like when I had Merzbow playing every night. Right?
No.
No.
Yeah, I know that's the joke, but no, really, like, John Stamos is joining for a certain amount of nights, and one of them is the Orlando night.
Mm-hmm.
What specifically does John Stamos do for the Beach Boys?
Apparently he plays the drums.
Or he eats Greek yogurt.
I guess they're like 1,000, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he might have the Rippers there, too. You never know.
It looks like he's playing guitar, so maybe guitar.
I read online it said something about he would be playing drums.
Oh yeah, catch him on the drums in Orlando, Coral Springs, Clearwater, Sarasota, and Fort Prince. So there you go.
It's hilarious to me, but it is.
He's like an honorary fifth Beach Boy or something like that. I think I read somewhere.
That's the most random.
Hopefully, he doesn't fall off a boat drunk. Wish him the best.
And we hope Scientology doesn't murder him in Clearwater. So
yeah, there's
Oh goodness.
If he does go, at least there's a lot of good memorabilia that'll be up for sale soon afterwards. So keep that in mind.
Good point.
Buy that Disneyland song.
It's a pretty good lineup for Mardi Gras, so hey, what can I say? Fits in the Tantrum sounds fun for me. Or if you like Gavin Rosdale, Bush is gonna be there, so whatever. Mardi Gras. So that's going on. The biggest non-surprise ever, they're doing that nighttime Harry Potter show from Hollywood. The Nights at Hogwarts Castle. Nightlights at Hogwarts Castle. It's a projection show. We all knew it was coming.
So, they're not going to do this all the time, though, right?
So, right now, they're only going to do it certain nights, but they've already extended the hours in the spring and the summer to, like, 10 p.m. for most nights. So I think they're just saying, hey, we're doing these, like, dozen nights, this baker's dozen of nights. And then, in like, they'll say, starting April 1st, we're going to do it every single night or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on there. So what of the two Disney bits of news do you want to start with?
Whatever.
Sure. I don't remember what they were.
Paid FastPass, I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm strangely okay with paid FastPass. I've been saying it for years, actually.
Yeah, it's it's available to club level lounge members. You get, I think it's $50 per person per day, and it's like a 3-day minimum. You get 3 extra fast passes, and you get a 90-day booking window. So there you go.
Which is a steal of a deal if you're paying that much. $50 is like nothing.
Plus,
if you pay $2,000 a night, like, you deserve another ride on Space Mountain. That's my attitude.
Yeah.
Especially Space Mountain, the crappy wild mouse in the dark built in 1970s. So there you go.
It's got sound, though, now.
Barely, but let's go with that.
But it's there.
Or you can ride the simulated banshee that breathes
between your legs.
Just as long as you don't look to the right or left. You know, it really works really well, I bet.
Or you could spend the same amount of money on 3 extra fast passes and, like, get a day ticket to SeaWorld.
Or go to Mexico and get hammered. I mean, there's that too.
I mean, you could use the same amount of money to go to an actual Polynesian island.
I guess we've gone through that. Let's not rehash that again.
Okay.
Anyways, long story short, I think we all are like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah, it is what it is, so.
Yeah.
I think everybody knew it was coming, so it's just kind of like, okay, now it's here. Big whoop. Yeah.
I think the original rumor was it was, like, no strings attached fast passes, which was sort of hilarious how it was phrased, because I just imagine a bunch of swingers getting fast passes, no strings attached, or something. But, yeah, the original rumor was, like, you just use the fast passes whenever you want, but I guess you have to book them, so I don't know. Paid fast pass. Also, monorails, they're broken. What a surprise. A monorail's door was supposed to be locked and just opened up over the highway going to Epcot. And people yelled at them for not calling it in, because that would have done something, I guess. I don't know. So that was an actual thing that happened. I mean, the monorails are falling apart.
That got retweeted by the Lansing State Journal, which I thought was hilarious.
That's pretty impressive. I think it ended up in the UK also. And they butchered everything. It was like the monorail red line or something and a bunch of other crazy stuff.
Dang. That monorail made it all the way to the UK?
Yeah. That's you know... I think the real tragedy in this is that people climbed on top of the pyramid at Epcot, and apparently someone climbed the smokestack on the Disney Magic.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Nobody climbed on top of the monorail. Like, it was right there.
I didn't know someone climbed up on top of the smokestack on the Wonder.
Yeah, somebody just, yeah, that's what it was. It was one of the boats.
When did that happen?
I
feel like I've been out of the loop, apparently, since this is just blowing my mind. How do you get to where you can climb up on top of the smoke?
You just keep climbing. There's, like, staircases and stuff and ladders.
What do they do to you when you're...
You go to the bad room. There's a bad room on all the cruise ships.
You go to the bad place.
You go to the bad room, yeah.
The bad place, not the good place.
The not naughty the good place.
Room, what it's sometimes called, also.
You can
Google about naughty rooms on cruise ships. It's pretty hilarious.
Talking about the good place, Ted Danson just won Best Actor in a Comedy Series for the Good Place in Critics' Choice Awards. So there you go.
Eh.
The Good Place. Go watch it. It's really good. I mean, there's that one dude who climbed up... the Tree of Life at Animal Kingdom, and I was really disappointed. That was my personal favorite, because that's, like, really impressive.
Yeah.
Really sad Joe Rohde didn't do it myself. I think that'd have been pretty funny.
He probably has.
I mean, yeah, but he should just be able, like, I own this park! Just, like, climb up or whatever.
Weren't they originally going to make, like, a thing where you could get up there in the tree and look out? Wasn't that, like, in the original design or something?
Probably. That, like, sounds like it would make sense. Yeah, an observation tower, treehouse.
Yeah, there's something like that.
Like Wonder Mountain at Canada's Wonderland has that on top of it, but they stopped using it like 5 years in. So why not the Tree of Life?
Yeah, the treehouse. And then what they'll do is they'll shut it down and then turn it into some sort of a DVC area. Or a DVC room.
A dessert party for the whatever the thing, Rivers of Light.
Cubicles.
The cubicles. Oh my god, you guys, the cubicles. Oh god. Holy crap, the cubicles, guys. What is with that? That's insane. Like, they ordered new cubicles for that.
I saw another picture, and they were like, somebody just put, like, they put paintings or pictures up on it or something. So, that's... I guess that's what they had, was cubicle walls. They're probably all sitting in storage, and you know what? It was honestly probably the first time that they ever were like, hey, let's do something, and then let's not spend a ton of money on new stuff that we don't need to.
Fair point.
Someone else was like, wow, it's a really good idea. Let's use these cubicle walls. And now, of course, you make fun of it. But, you know, it was probably the right thing to do, maybe. I don't know.
It's
when it first came out, though, yeah. It looked hilarious. It was great. It was like an old office that I used to work in.
It looks like a bunch of meeting rooms.
Yeah, it looked over like a call center.
I mean, like
there's like they have like have 200 people sitting in all those like little cubicles. And Paul's like, do you know what Disney's best kept secret is?
It's gonna be like a counseling center for people who bought a 1-day ticket to Epcot.
Tell me how you're feeling. I feel wrong.
Let's talk about your life choices that get you to this point.
Hello, sir. Have you heard of our Savior Jesus Christ? Come sit down here in these cubicles. The true miracle of Epcot is our Lord and Savior. Have you read The Watchtower yet?
Okay. Psychological testing. I want you to hold on these two metal cans.
Wow, your Ethans or whatever are doing very well.
Oh, goodness.
Two Scientology jokes, one episode. Boom. Yes. Also, how's Amelia doing?
Fire.
Yeah, how's Amelia doing, Nick? I could hear her in the background. Just wondering.
Yeah, she's just fighting sleep. It's that time of the night. So.
Ah, okay. She's just yelling. She just wants to be part of the podcast.
She'll get, like, close to sleep, and she'll realize she's about to fall asleep, and then she'll start, wake herself back up.
And she'll pass out.
So. Yeah, eventually she'll fall asleep.
Got it. I mean, it's that or Baloo, so whatever. Oh, man. Disney, what are we going to do with you? I think that's all the Disney news. I mean, they opened those new Disney Springs restaurants. They look fine. It's Disney Springs. You don't have to pay to get into it.
Check it out. It's a shopping mall, and they got restaurants.
Yeah,
good psych, guys.
Pretty good restaurants. Not gonna lie, you know, Homecoming's pretty good, but like, yeah.
It's T-Rex and Rainforest.
No, those are not good restaurants. Those are not good restaurants. I said good restaurants.
What you talking about, man? They got like a Brontosaurus burger or something, right?
The thing that
there's like a giant meteor that's crashing into Earth, and there's a volcano that goes off. Like, come on, man.
It's a literal fight.
Literally sitting there eating your hamburger while a meteor shower is coming to kill you and the dinosaurs, and everybody's just like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah, you're gonna be sent to hell. You're going to be extincted, and that's going to happen to you while you eat your burger, and it's going to be great.
The age of the dinosaurs. Yeah, my thing is...
But it's not Disney magic. It is, but it isn't. It's like, what is the company that owns those?
Landry's.
That's owned by Fertitta
family. Landry's.
Yeah, that's right. Why did the Fertittas pick Landry's as their name?
I have no idea.
Like, if we pick Landry's, it sounds like extra white and no one will remember that we're mobsters?
Probably. Most likely.
Pretty good.
There's nothing that gives me a bigger headache than looking at the cotton candy martini that they serve at the T-Rex Cafe, which is literally they take a puff of cotton candy and they pour the martini on top of it in the glass.
So is it like that gif of like the raccoon that has cotton candy and then puts in water and it dissolves and
exactly
the freaking out.
That's exactly what it does. Yeah,
it's exactly what it looks like. Exactly.
I love you, Landry. You're the best. Landry's built me a wood coaster. That's more I can say about Disney right now.
That's
so.
good point. Very good
Big
point.
Up Landry's. Big up. Yeah. So, anyways, there's restaurants. They look all right. They look like they serve food.
Homecoming's pretty good. I gotta say, Boathouse is pretty good. My family lives in Morimoto.
I'm sure it's good, and it probably should be for the price charged.
Also a very good point. Yes.
Yeah. Oof. And then you can go buy like a Richard Mille watch. That's good.
Get some Sperry's.
Some Sperry's. Get some boat shoes. You can be totally like rocking it like it's 2009.
Exactly.
Lando guys, let's do this.
Lando. Yeah. Pop the collar.
What else do we have?
So, what do you want to do next? You want to do Nick? Do you want to touch a little bit on your trip, or do you, Alan? Do you want to talk about your article a little bit?
I don't even know how I remember my trip. it's been so long.
Where'd you go?
Kingdom and Universal, and it was first weekend of December.
So this was Amelia's first trip for Christmas time in the area.
Yeah, it was. I don't even remember what all we did. We did a lot at Magic Kingdom. As far as the rides, I actually met Santa Claus at Magic Kingdom for the first time. He was a really good Santa Claus. Like, really good. Like, taking 10 to 15 minutes with every kid and, like, legit, like, it was solid. It was a great experience.
Full capacity Claus. Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the line was shorter at Magic Kingdom than what it had been at Disney Springs the entire time that we were in town. So
true.
It's like he's tucked up there by guest relations and all that. A lot of people don't even know he's there. So it really didn't. Like, we waited probably like 30 minutes, I think, to see him. So it really wasn't that bad. But he did spend like, you know, a good solid at least 5 minutes with every family group. So it was a good experience. What else did we do at Magic? I mean, everything looked fine at Magic Kingdom that we did, from what I remember. We did Pirates and Tiki Room and Country Bears and Jungle Cruise and Haunted Mansion. First time Amelia rode Haunted Mansion, she didn't get to her first trip, so she did it this trip. That went all right. She kind of got freaked out at the beginning, but then she chilled out. I think she fell asleep about halfway through it, though, so that might have helped, too. Like, by the Yoda, she was asleep. Yeah, I mean, Disney World was fun, and then she went to, we did Grinchmas with her, and she liked that, and she got some great time with the Grinch for the meet and greet character. He was great. He was like asking me like what we were getting him for Christmas and all that, and I told him that we were giving him a chance to take a picture with Amelia, and he said something along the lines of, you know how many people I get, how many babies I take a picture with daily? And I said, yeah, but this one's special. He said, because it's yours, right? Everybody's baby's special. It was some really solid character interaction. Probably some of the best I've had. The projection show on Hogwarts is great. I can't really say anything against the parade that hasn't been said. The parade was good. The music was a little... This is the only part that holds it back. I agree with that. But it's a solid parade. The new parade is great. And I did Barney for the first time.
Ever. And last time, probably.
I don't know. If we Jennifer wants to go down there for the Beach Boys, so if we make it down there, we might do... Because she missed the Beach Boys concert when they were in town in Savannah. For some reason, that's one thing that Jennifer's always wanted to do, is go see the Beach Boys perform. So... we're talking about it. I don't know if we will or not, but we might. But I'm kind of sad because, like, I'd never done Barney before. And, like, for me, it's, like, whatever. But when Amelia, like, lit up when Barney appeared on the stage, because, like, they bring out a little plush and put him down in the middle of the stage and everything goes dark. And then when the lights come back up, Barney is standing in the middle of the stage and is completely surrounded by people. So... to watch her face react to that, and she was just shaking her hands because she didn't know what to do because she was so excited. And, you know, that aspect of it was like, okay, you know, I get why, you know, this is here, because it's still, even though she's never watched Barney until then, it just like, it worked, all the music and the colors and the bright lights, and, you know, it really worked. Oh, the one thing about the Barney show. So we were staying at Cabana Bay. We made it from our room in Cabana Bay almost to Turkey Lake Road, like we were on the back part, to the Barney show. Made it in 20 minutes walking through security and everything.
That's pretty good.
With a stroller, with a baby. So yeah. It cool. Can be done. So,
how'd you like the Potter stuff, by the way?
Did pretty. Potter was great. The way that they have it done with how you move through and all that, it really... works really well. We had to wait, I think. When we got into Hogsmeade, we had to wait for the show to cycle through one time before we got into a position where we could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it really wasn't that bad because we were back probably about where the Three Broomsticks door is whenever the other show ended. And so we made it all the way up to, we were about where the snowman is, that area. That's where we watched it from.
Mm-hmm.
It was good perspective. It's a great show. Longer and in a way where like you could see it from everywhere because it's really that good of a show. With it being where it's at and how they have to do it, a short projection show is fine. But if they could somehow implement that where it was, where you could see it from all over the park, it would be it would be great because it the way it started off with the ghosts and then it works its way through and it's flawless. It's a great job.
Cool.
I have no complaints about that.
Cool. Anything else with the trip you want to mention?
One thing, Cabana Bay is like great. Still love what they picked for the rooms and stuff like that. Really starting to fade on the furniture and all that. So.
Okay, so they need like a nice good cleanup and a refurbishment?
Yeah, you can tell the chairs that are like by the windows that the sun, when the blinds are open and all that, and the sun bears down on them, they're getting faded and look dingy and
starting to bleach and everything.
Mm-hmm. The white walls are starting to have like little black marks and scuff marks all over them, and so the color palette, great color palette, might not be holding up the best.
Well, I mean, also the rooms are 4 years old now, so
that
like
is true.
They do need to get a good refurbishment on that, and they need to start rolling it out. Which
it's kind of hard to believe that it's been there for that long.
Well, hey, they're opening a bunch of new hotels, so I could bet you Cabana Bay rooms will start going into refurbishment probably when they open the new hotel where Wet n' Wild is at.
Yeah, I kind of figured that they would start with the towers, open up the two towers and start taking down some rooms and stuff, but they haven't, so.
Yeah, I think once they get their capacity up, that'll probably be what they do. They'll just start rotating it, but... Yeah. They've got three hotels in the works because they got Aventura and two other ones. I don't remember what the other ones are. They don't even have names yet, right?
They haven't given any names to them. It's just the dirt cheap rooms, basically.
Universal Generic Beach Themed Hotel 1 and Universal Generic Beach Themed Hotel 2.
Yeah, it's hey, we want to spend no money and stay on I-4, but we also don't want to take an Uber to the parks. And we would like package pickup, please, and early entry. Thank you. That's what the parks are.
I really wish they would name them Dry and Tame. Universal's Dry Resort and Universal's Tame Resort.
It's a really good project name. So
too prohibition-y.
Yeah, Dry and Tame. Yeah, exactly. We definitely need to keep that nice and flowing the liquor there. So, yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for your trip report. If Mike had joined us, we would have talked about how he destroyed his body on the marathon, but oh well.
I'll talk about Dollywood then. How about that?
Oh yeah. What's going on with Dollywood?
How about that, internet?
Yeah.
Ready for that. Yeah, so obviously I still have a lot of free time because I'm still in the middle of job searching, which is annoying. But we had a trip that we planned, my wife and I, to go to Dollywood for, I guess, kind of like closing weekend. It wasn't really intended that way. But basically, Dollywood extended their season from the 1st of January to the 3rd. So then we were like, okay, we'll come home one day later. So my wife took another day off. And then my wife was told by her boss that's like, oh, the office is going to be closed the whole week before New Year's weekend. So then we were like, oh, okay, so we'll leave on Friday then. So we left early Friday. We got down to Kings Island. I briefly saw Andrew Hyde, as a matter of fact, met him.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
For Winterfest. And, so we did Kings Island Winterfest for a couple hours. It was 25 and snowing a lot. They actually had winter weather warnings all over Cincinnati. So there were not very many people there.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to the hotel after we went to the park, like we were staying in Mason at the top. No, we were at the Spring Hill.
Okay.
And it's like a 12-minute drive normally, and it took us about a half hour.
Is that north of...
It's south.
Okay.
Yep. So anyway, Kings Island itself, they did a really good job. They changed out a ton of signage. Like, clearly they intend for this to go for a while. And they did a really good job overall, I think, with a lot of the decorations. They had a Christmas village under the Eiffel Tower that was selling, all sorts of junk. I hate to say it's junk, but it's all kind of like the stuff you'd see at a craft fair.
Tchotchkes.
Like, Yeah, like, well, like people like selling, like, you know, I make wine bottle art, stuff like that. So, you know, whatever. It's cool. It's better than, I guess, than like them selling Avon or something.
Good point.
Like it's a slight step up above that. Like I was hoping for someone to sell dip. You know, we have chip dips. It's like, oh yeah, rub my hands together. Not that I could have because I had gloves on and I was freezing. But we were hoping
here's
to get
your, here's your free Coke bottle so you could spit into it.
Yeah. So I was hoping to get on Mystic Timbers, and that did not even, it was done. That was the end of the season, was like two days prior. It was snowing. It was like just not going to happen. And that was, you know, we were like, all right, whatever. They did run the Flyers, the Flying Scooters.
Nice.
I rode those. It was cold. And let me see, we rode the train, which was also very cold. As a matter of fact, when you're on the train, you go underneath Diamondback, and of course, alongside Mystic Timbers, and going under Diamondback, we looked over to the left and it's dark because it's like 7 p.m., but 7 p.m. is dark now and snowing, and it just looked really, really weird. Like it looked like it was some sort of mythic beast, and it looked gigantic. Like I don't know why the hypercoaster doesn't always look gigantic when it's 220 feet tall, but that moment it looked like super gigantic, and we're like, we've actually been on that. Like, that thing was totally, we just totally rode that. We haven't even, like, thought twice about it on multiple occasions. And it's massive. Look how big it is. It's huge. Huge.
It's a great ride. I love Diamondback.
It is a great ride. There's a bunch of shows. They had, like, a petting zoo. They had a nativity scene. They had the bumper cars were running to, we didn't see, like, any of the shows. My wife was just not feeling the Christmas shows on this trip, which is fine. I'm not a big show person necessarily, but I kind of overdosed on Christmas shows at Dollywood. And I will get to that in a little bit. It was last year. Anyways, so we barely got on anything. There was some stuff that they did as far as it's like retheming items that was like outwardly hilarious. Like my favorite was they have this giant orc animatronic that like gets up and talks to guests at Cedar Point during the Halloween weekends. They have one at King's Island too. It's like a $20,000 animatronic. Like it's a huge item.
Yeah.
They just put a huge Christmas scarf on him, and he got up and he was like talking like an 8-year-old, and it was really disturbing and not at all cheery in my opinion. But you know, whatever. I guess it was supposed to be an elf, like a 20-foot-tall elf that spoke like a giant man child. It was. I'm not sure about it. I'm not pro that. But most of the other stuff I was pro. It snowed so much that they had to stop ice skating and bring out a snowblower to the ice.
I did see that in Hyde's video on In Loop.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. So we did that, and then the next morning we headed down to Pigeon Forge, and we were checking the weather the whole time on the way down because basically Dollywood will run stuff if it goes over 36. Mm-hmm. But if it stays under 36, like nothing outdoors runs of any value. So we're like, The forecast for the rest of the week looked terrible. Like, it was going down to the 20s and, like, never getting out of it until maybe the 3rd. And sure enough, on this day, on that Saturday, it was, like, high was, like, 38. So we were like, screw it, let's go. So we went to, the first stop we made was to Dollywood, and we got in there and basically banged out all the big coasters that were open. So I got on Wild Eagle, got on Tennessee Tornado. Longest I've ever waited for Tennessee Tornado. We did 30 minutes for that. Waited, got on Thunderhead. The big thing is we got on Lightning Rod, which was awesome. I haven't been on that since last August, and Lightning Rod's like super, super, super good. Super good ride. I mean, almost everything we rode was really good, but like to wait 90 minutes for Lightning Rod, like it was worth it. It's very rare that I ever say anything is worth a 90-minute wait, but, like, we rode Lightning Rod, and the whole rest of the weekend, we were like, you know what, if nothing else, we rode Lightning Rod. Like,
how was it in the cold? Did it run well?
I mean, it was still, like, 36 or 37 when we got on it,
mm-hmm.
and it's fast, obviously, and it's pretty windy, but for whatever reason, it felt less cold than, like, going on the train at King's Island.
Hmm.
I don't know why that is, like, maybe because we were so bundled up or something, or we were just so gassed up on adrenaline because it's wild and crazy.
It's Lightning Rod.
Lightning Rod, yeah. But no, it was super fun. And Dollywood at Christmas time is is always like top notch. Like as far as their Christmas delivery of stuff goes, like it's always like at the absolute pinnacle of like the Western theme park experience. Like tons and tons of lights. Looks gorgeous at night there. They have a lot of Christmas shows, but they haven't really swapped any out from last year. We saw like every Christmas show there last year. So we skipped all of them this time. We were like, okay, I don't need to see any of these. Like none of them are new, but the shows that they do have are like really huge productions. They do Night Before Christmas, which is like a 55-minute show with all sorts of huge set pieces, and it's really well done. Like I said, we didn't, and it's okay. We'll have new ones, and we'll go see those. So that evening, we headed back, you know, checked in the hotel, dropped our stuff off. We stay at this place called the Arbors at Island Landing. So basically, we just kind of walked over towards the island, which is this big entertainment development that's built around a Wyndham/Margaritaville hotel. And I think we ended up playing at the arcade. Next day, initially, we were going to basically just hang out in Gatlinburg all day and then maybe stop in Dollywood in the evening. And then I forget why it is we didn't go to Dollywood. Like, probably because nothing was operating in terms of rides. So we went to Gatlinburg, where my last new roller coaster for the year, which is the Smokey Bear Coaster, which is a mountain coaster,
mm-hmm.
was there. And it was okay. It was probably the worst of the ones I've been on in Gatlinburg. Then we tried to go to Ober. And Ober Gatlinburg has a really cool tram ride that you take up there. It's a mm-hmm. huge sky ride, chairlift kind of thing. It's not really a chairlift because it's like a huge tram that holds like 120 people. And you go bounding over the mountains, and it's definitely a pretty substantive journey. And then we got up there, and the mountain coaster was closed because of snow. So that was the second time I've missed that Ober coaster. So I was like, forget it. They couldn't even tell me like, yeah, we think it might open now or then, or like, they were like maybe 1:30 and it's like 10 in the morning. So I was like, nah, I'm done. So I went back down, had lunch downtown in Gatlinburg. Gatlinburg is kind of like Pigeon Forge is kind of like iDrive. And then Gatlinburg is like iDrive, but like condensed into a really dense section of town. Yep. With like the same number of people, but like a very small neighborhood. And
it's like three blocks instead of
It's just like everything imaginable in terms of like tourist trappish type stuff. There's this thing called the 7D Shoot 'em Up Cinema, and I had a $5 per person coupon for it instead of the $12 that we were usually charged.
So what were the 7Ds and not dwarfs?
You know, usually I try to keep it to at least 12D after I and my favorite being we actually never did any of the 12D theaters. We kept running into like additional Ds. Like there was like 10D and like 12D. And like the 12D one that we saw in Oman, I think I took a picture of it and posted on my Facebook or on the Twitter account, where like the names of the things were like Terror Coaster and everything was all misspelled, and Ghost Come. That was my favorite one.
Oh, God.
That was so awesome. C-O-M-E, but still it worked.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so the 7Ds, as best I can tell, are there's length, width, depth, shenanigans, water spritz, commercials, and laser guns. I think that's the 7Ds. The 7D show. But actually, so also, fun note, so we got corrected on the podcast that I did about who makes all the guns and stuff and old vehicles for the stuff in the UAE. Did we ever post anything about that?
I posted it on the article itself.
Oh,
so
good, good.
I have it pulled up. Yeah. I can actually say what it was. There we go. In our podcast, we note providers of interactive dark rides to UAE parks. We were corrected. Alterface provides Ghostbusters at Motion Gate, Resident Evil, at Hub Zero, Gears of War at Hub Zero, Gumball at IMG Worlds, and Benno's Great Race at Ferrari World.
So basically, they did the four worst and the one best. So good for them. Good for Alterface.
Cool.
In all seriousness, no knock to Alterface. I'm actually going to give them credit because the 7D shoot 'em up motion cinema, as ridiculous as that sounds and as cheesy and horrible as it is, and there's a ridiculous animatronic out front, by the way, of a horse, which must be seen to be believed. So basically you watch a film, there's like a pirate film, which I think is actually shot in Italian and then dubbed with English. And over that film, they have like CGI and you shoot stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then before that, they have a commercial for Circus Golf, which is another one of the attractions that they have. No, it's the Mirror Maze. It's the Mirror Maze that they have a commercial for. Then you do the pirate thing. And then you have another commercial for Circus Golf, and then they have this Wild West thing, okay? And Ultraface did this attraction, and it says so at the very end. Like, there's a credit sequence that says Ultraface. So they can't say that they didn't do it, right? It's theirs.
Yeah.
The important aspect that I want to point out about this, first of all, it doesn't suck, which is shocking. Secondly, the seating on it is basically Avatar seating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a bike seat, and it moved. And, you know, I obviously cannot say because I haven't been on Avatar yet, but I would not be stunned if this was as good as Avatar. Like, for me, like, it was a preposterous ride setup, but actually the guns worked pretty well. I won both times out of everyone in the theater, and the screen actually was not terrible, and I don't know, it was functionally not bad, and it actually moved the way it was supposed to. So credit to the operator for not completely mucking it up. And credit to Ultraface for building a ride system that probably everyone should just go buy if they have a family entertainment center, because it's better than what I've seen from Trio Tech. So there's that. Also, we went on the Earthquake Dark ride.
Oh, yes. Which is closing. Which
was fantastic.
No, fantastic. Not Earthquake's not closing. What's the one that's closing? The
The run that's rumored to be closing is Jurassic Jungle Boat Ride.
Okay.
Which we also rode that same day, and I'll get to that in a second. Okay. Earthquake is supposedly owned by the same people as Jurassic Jungle Boat Ride. And Earthquake has the... Like, both of them have ride systems that I'm pretty sure were made in-house. Like, I don't know who would have ever made this. Nobody's ever taken credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the premise is essentially, like, Disaster. And it's old. Like, what was Disaster before it was Disaster? It was, like... Help me here. What do they call it at Universal Studios Florida?
Earthquake.
Earthquake. Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically.
Brought it out, right?
Yeah. So it was basically that. Like, you get into a subway car, okay? But the subway car has, like, 2x2 seating, and there's 8 seats on this. Basically, it's a sled on track. And you kind of exit the fake subway car, and you're just, like, out in the open air inside of the tube where you go back and forth during the earthquake, and there's water effects, and there's no fire. I think they may have had like some electronic stuff that looked like fire or was supposed to look like fire. But basically, it's the most ridiculous dark ride ever behind the Jurassic Jungle Boat ride. And like, there's the number of like Deus Ex Machinas in that ride, like how there's a random gorilla that happens to be on the subway platform. It's so good. It's it gets like a 1.5-star rating on TripAdvisor. So people generally hate it. But my wife and I were deeply amused by it. And then we ended up going back, you know, towards our hotel. That night we actually saw the Smoky Mountain Christmas Adventure show, which took the place of the old Lumberjack Feud show on Pigeon Forge's main parkway, which is basically I drive of Pigeon Forge. And that was a pretty decent dinner show. I liked it more when it was just the Lumberjacks. For whatever reason, like, the Lumberjack Feud, even though it was, like, outwardly, like, Republican, was almost, like, more humorous in just, like, how, like, over the top it was. Whereas, okay, like, this was just kind of, like, just, like, a weird combination of things that nobody seemed to care about. Like, there were, you know, they had, like, people doing ice skating on a tiny rink, and then there was, like, some dog tricks and people like where you stand in the hoop and you roll around on the ground, like stuff like that. There was like some aerial silk acts. There was a dude that went out like a cage of death. So they did a couple things that were kind of interesting, but like it was like a weird circus quasi Christmas show.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then they have like the birth of Jesus at the end of it. And it's okay. It's all right. It was not my favorite. And then we did Jurassic Jungle Boat Ride because this is all within walking distance of the hotel. And, you know, that was operating all the way through January 3rd. So I don't know if it's actually closed yet. It's an American treasure, and I think it's regrettable Joe, that you never got a chance to go to Pigeon Forge to spend the $14 to enjoy Jurassic Joe Boat Ride building. And there's a lot of animatronics. Mm-hmm. It's not nearly as ridiculous as it used to be. Like, there used to be a narrator. And at the beginning, the narrator would talk to you about, like, 65 million years ago, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, even the narrator was like, yeah, who cares? And then, like, you go and you see dinosaurs and giant spiders. And I don't think there was a caveman in this one. I don't think there's a caveman on it. Aww. There was, like, a weird tilting track portion at the end that they got rid of, which is just as well. I mean, it's bad, but it's like the Plan 9 about from outer space of dark rides.
Okay.
I just try and shoot through to get back to Dollywood because I know we're a theme park podcast. So Dollywood was closed the next 2 days because of cold and ice. So we ended up doing like a weird or like tangential stuff. Like we ended up going out to the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina. We went to the Harris Cherokee Casino and I passed by the ruins sitting up way up on the hill of what's now called Ghost Town Village. Used to be Ghost Town in the Sky. She has this crazy looping coaster on top of the mountain. We went to the Bush's Baked Beans.
What?
Back tour thing.
Did they have talking dogs?
There was a lot of talking dog references.
Did they show you their beautiful bean footage?
They did. There was a tremendous amount of beautiful bean footage.
So, Alan, Ghost Town is back open now?
No.
It's still closed.
It was bought by like Alaska or whatever her name was.
Yeah.
She's crazy. And she's trying to sell it for like three times what she paid for it.
Yeah. I used to love going up there when I was little.
It looks so cool.
It was great. We would, every year my grandparents would take like all of their kids and like all of us grandkids up to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Maggie Valley, somewhere up there. And I've been to Ghost Town quite a few times. It was so much that I loved Ghost Town. Ghost Town was great.
It's such a huge regret of mine that I never got up there because that was like that coaster is such a weird coaster.
Yeah,
it's really weird. And like it drops out of the station 60 feet and goes into a loop. Like it does stuff that it's not.
It literally hangs off the side of a mountain.
Yeah, I think it's called Cliffhanger, in fact. Like
it's like changed its name a couple of times, I think.
Though. Yeah. You know what? It might have been, is it Red Devil or something? I'm going to have to look.
Yeah. Something like that.
Cliffhanger. Let's see. It was previously called, drum roll please, Red Devil. There you go.
Yeah,
it got new trains in 2009. I remember hearing about that, and it ran for like 3 weeks, and then they found fractures at the end of it. So I would love to ride again. So hopefully something happens. You know, who knows? That it looks like that whole area really needs that park because you look around otherwise, and there's like some mini golf courses, and there's a lot of motels and stuff. And I can't imagine that they do nearly as well without the park as they did with it. So, you know, hopefully something can happen there.
Yeah.
But, you know, and by the way, the Biltmore, if you want to go see a really nice house, the Biltmore is definitely a nice house. It's also like $75 to get in. It's the most expensive house tour I've ever done, like anywhere in any country. I've spent less money to get into Catherine's. So... it was cool, but I don't know if it was $25 cool. I'll say that much about it. Anyways, Dollywood reopened for its final day of the season on the 3rd. It was too cold to go on any actual big roller coasters, so none of them were open. My first coaster of the year is Blazing Fury as a result.
Oh, yes.
Go on. Blazing Fury is always a good time. And, of course, it's Christmas, so they have Christmas lights and everybody's wearing, like, Christmas hats and stuff.
Ooh.
And I also got a chance to go on... Dropline, which is the new Funtime drop tower that they got in the space of the old Topple Tower, and it's okay. It's big, it's nice, and it rotates, and we got a chance to see the new construction area, and so that was good, but the breaks start really, really early on it, and I'm not a big fan of that. I like my drop towers to be extremely terrifying, and it was just okay. Was all right in that respect. The new expansion, whatever Dollywood is getting, and I honestly have no idea what it's getting, is huge. It's huge. It's like another park. I've never seen that much land cleared at a park. Never. It's got to be 30 acres.
What would you say you think it's going to be?
I have no idea. It's got to be. It's got to be 20, 30 acres that they cleared.
Jesus.
It's a huge amount of land.
What is it for? Like, is there any rumors what's going to be, or just
everybody's assertion or assumption, I guess, is that something from Mac will go there.
Huh.
If I have to guess, if I had to put money on it, First of all, because it's up on the side, like you basically have to get over a mountain to get to it. So I think they're going to have some sort of, from where the boat ride, from where the splash battle ride that they just tore out used to be, I think there's going to be some sort of like inclined space from there to get you up to that part of the park, whether it's escalators or an inclined railway or a combination of both. I have no idea. At the very far end of it, which you would consider, I guess, like the anchor, there's this sort of dugout, very square looking hole. If you want to call it a hole, it's just like a square space. So I think it's going to be a theater. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's a Mack Flying Theater, because I think that they need to go with more indoor attractions being running from, you know, mid-March until December. It makes a lot of sense to build more indoor stuff aside from shows, and a flying theater would be a perfect item. I'm sure there'll be some sort of coaster along with it. I'd love to see another dark ride at the park, because I think that that's a traditional dark ride especially would be huge for that place. You know, Silver Dollar City has Fire in the Hole, and they have Flooded Mine, so I'd like to see something like that at Dollywood. But honestly, I haven't heard anything about what's going into the space other than you see it and there's a lot of land cleared. Nobody talks about it. The GM of the park was on the train with us, and we took the train on the park and went around it. So if you end up seeing my wife and I in B-roll footage next year, we're going to look cold. But we saw the cameras around a lot when we were walking. So then we drove home after that, stopped. I forgot where we stopped overnight. Probably somewhere in Kentucky or Ohio or something like that. Like nowhere exciting. Like we didn't really do anything that great on the way home that I can recall. And if I can think about it later, I'll remember it then.
Some place that has like an Applebee's and that's about it.
Yeah, it was somewhere that like I was totally not that enthusiastic about. But I recall like wherever it was, I was able to get a jetted tub. So that was nice. Like that was my recreation, was the jetted tub.
Cool.
So there's the Dollywood weekend trip, which I've been back from like just under a week somehow.
Yeah. And, Did I tell you guys about my trip to the haunted house in Akron for Christmas?
You did like Krampus. Right?
Yes, we had a Krampus house. So there, I guess.
Holy crap!
What?
Oh, sorry. I just saw how much land they have cleared for Dollywood.
It's like, oh my god, what happened?
Get yourself a season pass, Dollywood.
Good lord,
we're doing it.
Yeah. It's like 3 years of stuff going there.
Yeah, it's like honestly, Joe. It's so big. It's like they're like, oh, we're gonna expand with Kennywood. Kennywood,
yeah, I mean,
coming
basically,
yeah, they're
to Dollywood next year.
They're building Kennywood, Typhoon Lagoon, and the hotel where this is going.
Nice. So there's like a loose like conglomeration of like independent haunted house organizers who decided they wanted to run during Christmas, and they all kind of like formed a organization, and they said, yeah, we're gonna do a Krampus event. And they all had like, so none of the houses are the same, and that was the big thing. Like I thought it would be all the same, but it's not. It's just the normal haunted houses they had, but they Christmased everything up like crazy. Like they were showing the Krampus movies, you could sit on Krampus's lap, whole nine yards. So it was about, I want to say it was $20. It was me and five other guys. We went down there. And it was at the Factory of Terror in Akron, Ohio, the world's largest indoor haunted house, because there's five haunted houses in this old, like, industrial factory, basically. So you line up for one, and you go through the house, and then you line up for the other, and you go through the house, and then you line up for the other. So just right back to back to back to back. It was like a good 2 hours we were there, and we rode, we walked through every single house. Clearly they didn't have all like the scare actors that they normally have, but it was a pretty fun event. I can't complain. We had a good time. We thought it was well worth the $20 we spent or whatever. We got pictures with Christmas. We got pictures with Santa. We got pictures with Krampus. We got scared. We got chased around. There's a bunch of weird scares. We had some tunnels. We had some mirror rooms. It was just a bunch of good time. So, yeah, it happened over a month ago, so that's why I'm really quiet about it. But it was pretty solid.
There's a lot of haunted houses that occupy space that is nothing but the haunted house, and they run 6 weeks a year. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, I wish I could do something else. That's something else.
Yeah, and this place also runs escape rooms, So that's how they pay for, I think, normally through the day, is they just do escape rooms, and then Halloween is when they do most of their stuff. So, I mean, this is another, like, 3 days of pure profit. So, yeah, I'm happy about it. And the rest of the time, they probably just do renovations and upgrades and stuff. So, that's a pretty solid event, and I enjoyed it a lot. Alan.
Yeah.
Do you want to... Let's end on your recent article that's been real popular. We'll cover it a little bit and talk about it and let everyone read it online. The article is brilliantly named, How is Theme Park Labor Market Formed? How Park Get People?
It was very popular on Reddit at that time.
Yeah, yes.
Everyone's like, what? Or, this is poor English. And then like two people were like, Weinstein mother. And it's like, okay, at least somebody got it. Thank you. Thank you for not making me feel too ancient. I will try to stay away from any other olds for future titles. The best I had for this one. I didn't want to come across too ridiculously serious. I don't know.
I mean, you have to, right?
Yeah.
You gotta try.
I mean, not that it's not a serious topic, you know, talking about the labor market in the United States and staffing theme parks. I don't know. You know what? It's been one of these topics that keeps coming up, and it obviously makes sense to me, like all the numbers fit. And I said, you know what, let me go ahead and just put everything together. And it was funny because like as I actually did, you know, the basic research for the article and going back through like the Bureau of Labor Statistics stuff, I was like, wow, this is even worse than I thought it was. Like, I couldn't believe how poorly the theme park industry rates compared to like other completely generally garbage industries as far as paying people. Like the rate of increase for pay in real terms is like 0.33% over the last, I think, like 12 years. I mean, it's like hilariously bad. And, you know, surprise, surprise, I keep going to Cedar Point and there keeps being, you know, one train on or half of Gemini's not running or a bunch of food booths are closed. They have to bring in food trucks in order to actually serve food to the park.
Melt has bad reviews because it doesn't have enough servers.
Yeah, you know, Kings Island has the same issue. Like, every park, and now, like, the parks in Orlando are starting to see some similar issues. And then on top of that, you have these labor disputes that have started to fire up, particularly with Disney World now, where the unions rejected the initial deal. And, you know, everyone's kind of like, well, I wonder what's going to happen. As though, you know, maybe the union will actually strike. I'd be stunned if they did, but who can say? 2 or 3 days of Disney World employees on strike would be devastating to that company, and I don't think Disney World and the Disney company can afford to allow it to occur, so especially right now in the labor market. So basically that was the argument that I made, is that if you're a theme park, you have to pay more money if you want employees. This is what happens in a full employment situation. Usually what ends up happening is that you have somebody in the federal government. They usually end up raising interest rates, and that kind of slows the economy slightly so that you don't end up with significant increases in cost as a result of huge labor cost increases. But that's probably not going to happen because we're run by imbeciles. So good luck to all of us. And if you're a theme park and you'd like to replace your HR people with me, I work cheap. Comparatively, and I can't do any worse because obviously they're not very good.
Can't do any worse.
It's like, you know, like could you or I coach the Cleveland Browns? any of us,
anybody could
coach the team to an 0-16 season and collect a paycheck, and it would be easy. So why not? Why not me? Obviously, you can't do it, so you don't deserve the money. So just hand me a check. I can pick up the phone and make phone calls. It's not tough. I can swallow my pride. I can sit there and apologize to the guys that run some crappy diner and be like, hey, do you think you can take some of our food service people for 6 months? Of course.
Can they dance? But, can we put them in Johnny Rockets?
Yeah, yeah. Can we do something with the Diana's Deli or the McDonald's? Can we send you some people that, you know, do nothing but cook corn dogs and want to keep their jobs till next year? It's really the rides people that want to stick around. But there's plenty of stuff for them to do. It's just a matter of Cedar Point working with local businesses to find stuff for them. I mean, this is stuff that, you know, ski resorts do in Aspen. that's the mentality you have to take if you want to keep people that aren't total trash. If you want to keep people that are total trash, that's up to you too. Say anybody what they should do. Keep all the bad employees, the laziest ones. They probably won't work much, so just keep them. See how that does for the stock price. I don't know. But yeah, so that was the piece on Parkscope. I'm actually going to have a follow-up next week, which I started doing some research for, because I want to talk about theme park revenue and how it works. Because essentially nobody understands. And hopefully it'll be enlightening.
Yeah, because people just assume, yeah, $120 to get into Disney sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, so. It's partially that, and also to look at the regional market. You know, one of the spoilers I'll give is that Cedar Fair and Six Flags are not that different. Like, they're actually pretty much the same. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Cool. I think that's all we have tonight. That sound good? I mean, we're about at an hour, so... Why not?
It's January. There's no parks open where we live, except for the Jeepers and Orchard Lake. If you want to get a bad kitty coaster credit, I don't. So skipping that one. But yeah, that's about it. There's January, guys. This is what you get. It's the same tired arguments on Twitter, too, man. I saw somebody was asking, was it your buddy Joe? Or Joe, was your buddy that was asking about the best bathrooms?
Oh, yeah, Patrick.
Yeah, when you get to the point where you're talking about bathrooms, like, you've hit the bottom of the barrel.
Well, that was more of a joke, because, like, someone posted, take four attractions from every Disney World park and make your own park. And he's like, I want to take the two best bathrooms from every Disney park and make your best Disney World park. Oh. So, that was Patrick was asking about toilets. So, there you go.
Best bathrooms.
Seriously, though, which is terrifying. I think he put thought into it.
I'm actually thinking about it right now.
The Adventureland bathrooms would definitely have to be on there, though.
We're getting close to, like, if you had to pick a tree to hang yourself from the Magic Kingdom, which one you pick?
Obviously, the definitely. One in Liberty Square.
Good night, everyone.
One parking garage. Sit in your car and let the carbon monoxide.
Wait. Would you do that, or would you pick the metal trees in Tomorrowland?
I don't know.
The steel might burn through the rope. And then you just end up falling crippled. It's no good.
Yeah.
That's like when you point too low with the gun. You know.
We probably shouldn't talk about this.
Oh, Jesus. This is dark. Okay, guys. We're all getting loopy now.
This is what Twitter does to us, man. Never-ending assault of negativity. Stay away from it. We're supposed to do our New Year's resolutions.
Do you want to do that? Yeah, let's do that. Screw it. Yeah.
What's your resolution? Park resolution number one. You should get off Twitter. All Twitter does is make me think about suicide jokes. It's great. Love Twitter. Joe, how about you?
I don't get back down to King's Dominion and Busch Gardens Williamsburg again this year.
That's a good one.
I haven't done that one.
We're talking about going there ourselves. We'll talk to you more about it, as a matter of fact, when you're up here.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, your turn.
I don't know. Maybe Cedar Point this summer.
Oh, might happen. What's that? What's that?
Might happen.
Porco. Melt.
Might happen.
Oh.
It's a definite possibility.
You're gonna have to get in contact for that.
Yeah, if it happens. Yeah, well, Jennifer's best friend's husband is now working out of Cleveland, and we try to see them at least once a year, so there's a very good chance that we'll be possibly maybe going to Ohio this year. So,
yay!
And if we go to Cleveland, I am going to Cedar Point, because why not?
And Porco, yay!
Yeah, just I would say stay away from, like, mid to late June. Not because it's busy, but because of the bugs. There's a
bugs.
Lot of Cedar Point. Yeah.
I'm from South Georgia.
No, you don't understand.
Yeah, they have these. They basically, they're like mayflies.
Midges.
Oh, okay. Mayflies,
and
yeah.
They will coat your clothing if you go on coasters.
If you do front row Millennium Force, I've seen photos of people, like, covered in, like, bugs. Like, on the on-ride photo. It's that bad.
Yeah, you want, like, July. July's good. Plus, okay. There's like employees there at that point, so that's positive. If they have them this year, who knows?
We might have employees. Who knows?
We might have.
It would be like a coupon day. You know, you run the ride yourself.
Yeah. It would be like Germany, where you pull a rope and then you get in the coaster and then it goes.
Oh, yeah. Why is that park that does that? It's like nobody operates any of the rides. It's just people.
They'll definitely have people to hire me. So hire me. I got nothing going on right now other than job interviews. You might as well get me before someone else does.
Right.
Also, my second New Year's resolution is to seek bloody vengeance for the Blackpool Wild Mouse, R.I.P.
Yeah, so what's going on with that?
That was the best one.
What's going on with that?
That thing's crazy. The thing about wooden wild mice versus steel ones, that steel ones are fairly in control, except for the one that used to be at Vancouver. That was basically the wood mouse. That was basically the Blackpool mouse. Like, the upstop is in the middle of the track on like a rail. Okay. So every time it goes around the curves, the wheels come off. and the clearances were so short. Like, if you were over 6'2", like, you probably had to duck to ensure not getting throttled by a beam. It was so good. Oh, man, that ride was so good. And I will probably never forgive. Blackpool's already gotten rid of a bunch of really good stuff. And, like, the Wild Mouse was, like, the last straw. Like, I could... Blackpool was the best park I ever went to in my entire life when I went there in 2002. And, like, five of the things that I loved about it are gone. So, screw Blackpool. Vengeance coming for you. What else? Get more money again. And then... That's basically, like... You know, I try to keep to about 30 a year, and I want to do Darien Lake this year with the new coaster. Cedar Point, obviously, is getting a new coaster. Mm-hmm. I haven't been to Kennywood in 9 years. So
we should do Kennywood.
Should go to Kennywood. I haven't been to Idlewild in 14.
I haven't been to Idlewild in way longer than 14 years.
15 years. 15 years is this year. Last time I went to Idlewild.
Shit.
I have not been to King's Dominion in about 13 years. I haven't been to Busch Gardens in about a decade. So those are parks I really need to get back to. And I need to get to Fury. So a lot of domestic stuff. I don't know if I'm going to do as much international stuff. If I do, then that's great. If I don't, you know, I did plenty of it last year. I went to like 12 countries. I'll live if I skip one or two this year. So, you know, like, it's fine. Yeah, so, and... I'm at 849 right now, I'm at 847 for my count. I don't think I'm going to get to 900 this year. 900 is not going to happen, but 875 at least. At least get another like 25 on the board would be good. Be happy with that.
Cool. So
there's my resolution, 25 for the year, bloody vengeance for the wild mouse, and get off Twitter. So I stop feeling bad.
All the positive things.
Yeah.
So... I think it's time to wrap up the episode. We've been at this for about an hour. Alan, where can we find you online at? That's not Twitter, I guess, or maybe Twitter or something.
You'll probably find me at Twitter anyways, breaking my promise to myself. You know, New Year's resolutions are meant to be broken, so I'm going to go break in about 5 minutes.
Cool.
I'm just going to roll around on the couch and feel bad. But also on parkscope.net, but at Gods on Safari on Twitter. And you can catch me under a list of pseudonyms I'm not going to tell you about elsewhere on the internet.
Cool. Yay, pseudonyms. Nick?
It's at Parkscope Nick on Twitter when I am on there, which is not very often since I'm working right now. And always remember, hire Alan. He can't do much worse than what you currently got.
Exactly.
Somebody let me run a neurocognitive study, and we went great. So I can do anything at this point. Just, you know what I'm saying?
All good. Yeah, you can find me at Parkscope Joe. You can find all of us at Parkscope. Go to parkscope.net for articles. Alan writes good ones. I'm writing some. I'm working on some. Rate us, review us on iTunes. We'll see everyone on the flip side. So, Nick, do you want to sign us off?
Love everybody. Hate everything. Kungaloosh.
There we go.